It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, I was going to go fighting, bro.
As in, like, literally go up to him.
He stopped the session, and everyone could hear it. Like, we paid 15 million for you.
Oh, in front of all the players?
In front of everyone, bro.
Yeah.
And I was just like, bro, don't chat to me like that. Like, you know, if you want to say something to me, say it to my face kind of thing, you know?
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of the Beautiful Game Podcast. I'm with my main man, Dej. What are you saying to me, bro?
I'm good, bro. Very, very happy to be here. We're on home turf. You know, we've been away on the road. You know, Brighton, Manchester. But we're back at the home base. And, you know, we've got a bagsman with us today. So it's going to be good to talk about his career and what he's been up to.
Definitely. Before we introduce the bagsman, just some quick housekeeping. Follow our Twitter at @podcast_TBG, our TikTok at @TBGpod, and our Instagram at @pod_TBG. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Help us get to 30K. And also leave a comment for the algorithm. Even before we introduce our guests, I'm feeling a little bit embarrassed because we're meant to be gifting our guests a gift, and Brit has come in and surprised us with a care package. So yeah, now we're delighted to announce we're joined with Watford striker Brit Esombalonga.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me on, man.
Anything? No worries, man. We were telling you outside that this was one of the easiest, you know, getting a guest we've ever had. Literally, one phone call. Okay, when are you free? Okay, Monday. Oh. Bang. There you are, innit? It was simple, so like,
no,
love for showing support, man.
No, I like things to be on the ball, man. Once I say a date, that's the date. You're a man of your word.
You know what's mad? I'm going to say something that I probably shouldn't, but Dej has wanted to get you on for like 3 years.
Early. Bro, I followed your career, from like Peterborough. You were at a stage where the only way was the Prem, and I still believe you can get there, man. Obviously, there's been things that have happened in between, but yeah, man, I'm one of those guys that I watch the champ.
Yeah.
So when a player is like doing well, I always say he's making it Prem. So like Eze, Elise. Yeah. So like it's only probably you and Bradley Dack that have not yet hit the Prem, but both of you are like pushing on to get to the Prem for next season. So yeah, big up.
Nah, bro. Obviously, sorry, bro. I didn't get on, but, you know, for the past 3 years. But obviously, we're here now. God's planning it.
God's timing.
God's timing, and we're here, man.
No, I think that's the perfect way to kick it off. Talk to us about the here and now, bro.
The here and now, man. I'm back on home soil, man. Back on home soil, man. Because obviously, being out in Turkey was a whole different experience. You know, like in terms of footballing, in terms of the culture as well, it was a whole different thing for me, you know, because obviously I spent, you know, all my career in England, and to go out to Turkey, and, you know, it was a challenge. But, you know, it was an experience, obviously, for me and my family. But, you know, it's good to be back, man. It's good to be back on home soil, man.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about Turkey much more, but in terms of how the move to Watford came about, like, how did that sort of materialise?
Well, to be fair, like, obviously there was problems in Turkey. Obviously, the problem with Turkey, with the club and stuff like this. And I got a phone call to say, would I be interested in coming to Watford? Straight answer, bro. Yes.
Yeah.
Just win. Just win, you know. And, you know, obviously we're here now, but, you know, it was a sticky one because it went on for about a month time because obviously it was back and forth with the clubs and, you know, etc. But finally got over the line, man, and I was in that plane the next day and then with my family we were going to come to sign.
Yeah, because it looked like it materialised very quickly. And when you say there was problems, what do you mean? Because I've got loads of contacts that deal with like Turkish clubs and there's presidents, there's wranglings over pay, there's this and that going on. So like, yeah, what sort of issues were happening?
Like, obviously, everyone's familiar with it all. Like, you know, obviously there's late payments and et cetera. Obviously, I haven't been used to that.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, going out to Turkey, like, you know, obviously a lot of it was good, but obviously the late payments were
okay,
you know,
so that happened to
you. You know, obviously happened to me, you know what I'm saying? But as I was saying, we're here now, like it's the past, yeah. You know, but obviously at the end of the day, like we have to be real, like obviously there was late in payments and stuff, like good club, but you know, the late payments obviously like ruined a lot of the things. And obviously we, you know, coming to Watford, you know, obviously on the news and that, it's, you know, it shows it was happening over probably 2 days, like, but obviously it was actually a long stint, you know. And you know, it was a lot of back and forths, like a lot of back and forths, and obviously we came to agreement and then, you know, I was allowed to go. So
because the wording was that you left by like mutual consent.
Yeah,
so was it mutual or were you like pushing to leave the club, would you say, because of obviously you're not being financially remunerated, like you're working and, you know, at the end of the month when that paycheck comes, it's not, you understand?
No, to be fair, like, yeah, it was a mutual agreement. And, you know, I think the club knew and, like, the manager knew that I wanted to go back home. I think my time there was up. Like, I've done it now. And I think for me, it was the right decision I made coming back. And, like, I don't regret any of that decision, you know. And, you know, I'm just happy to be back, man.
So during that period, was there like interest from any other clubs? Because a lot of the time in the media, we will just see, oh, Watford signed Britt. But was there any clubs that were picking up the phone, like inquiring about your services?
Yeah, no, there was a few clubs in England, and it was just, you know, obviously when the Watford thing came through, like I was just like, yeah, that's where my heart was set, you know. And obviously there was stuff abroad, but when the Watford thing came through, I just said, like, that's where I want to go.
So when you say, like, a few clubs, you mean, like, at champ level? Or?
Yeah, at champ level. And a few in Turkey as well. But I just said,
yeah, no, this experience, I need.
I'm done.
So, yeah, let's delve deeper into your time in Turkey. Obviously, a lot of players have started to go there. Obviously, I know Yannick Bolasie's there. Dele Alli's there. Nathan Redmond's there. So, like, what is it about Turkey that you think's attracting?
You know, like, to be honest, like the football is good. Like, I enjoyed it. Like, the football is good, but everyone knows that it's a place where a lot of players go and they get good contracts. Mm. Like, you got to be real. Like, that's a place where people go and get the contracts.
Bread.
So
get
like,
bread.
Like, yeah, you know, bread. People go there to get the bread.
That's straight up, man. That's the real.
That's real. But at the end of the day, but when I touched down, like, it was good. Like, in terms of the training, the games, the atmosphere, the fans. Yeah, it was amazing, man.
So obviously you've played in Turkey. In terms of, like, if you had to kind of sum up the sort of atmosphere around football clubs and that, how does it differ to being in England?
Well, to be fair, like, the fans there are crazy, but good crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good crazy. Like, man, you see the flares.
Yeah.
You see the flares before, you know, coming to away stadiums and, like, the fans are just banging on the bus, throwing stuff at you. It's a hostile situation, but it's good, man. And when you get on the pitch and, like, the noise and, you know, yeah, no, it's good.
So talk to us about the president, because I've seen, like, a lot of stuff online that he's a bit, they might call him, like, a madcap president. He talks to the media a lot and he does certain things. So what was your experience of dealing with him personally?
No, he's a madman. He's a madman. But he's a good guy, man. Mm. Like, he's a good guy. Like, and obviously, yeah, his passion for the club is 10-10. Like, you know, he really loves the club and he really wants the club to do well. And obviously you can see, like, the club's, you know, trying to push for Europe, you know. And obviously we tried to do that last year. We just missed out. But,
You know, did you have like one-to-one dealings with him? Like, you speak to him directly, or?
Oh, he was there, man.
Okay,
he was there, man. You know, the game was Saturday. He was there Friday. Oh,
Friday.
Like he was there. Like no, he was
coming
he
to
was,
the training ground.
Yeah, he was heavily involved in like you know the club. Like it was his club. You know, he really wanted the club to do well. And like you know what, like he was a nice guy, man.
And if you had to like sum up your time at Adana, how would you sort of like describe the experience?
At times it was difficult. At the start it was difficult because obviously I had my family with me and the kids obviously.
Okay, so were they living out there
with you? Yeah, man, they were living out there with me, man. So like it was a whole different experience for them. My kids, you know, they don't know a word of Turkish, you know, but see, after it, they flipping knew.
Yeah, picked up some words, yeah.
But, good, you know, it was different for them, and I think it was a great experience for them. Yes, you know, first 6 months were tough. You know, kids crying going into school and that, because obviously they don't speak the language, and it's tough. And, like, you know, taking them out from a school in England, like, all their friends are there, and it's like, you know, my little boy, he's free. Like, he didn't know any better. He was just happy to be with mum and dad and sister, you get what I'm saying? Yeah. But my little girl, she's six, so like he was, you know, it was different because, you know, she's made friends.
Yeah.
Like she got comfortable, and you know, to go out to somewhere where it's like a whole different communication. But for my boys, they literally just playing. So it's like, you don't need to talk. You just play.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, I don't think we can move on from Adana without talking about one man, one teammate. I think you know who I'm going to talk about.
Mario
Balotelli. You know, talk to us about that experience, because in the media here, you hear, oh, he's like, he pays for people's petrol, or he lets off fireworks in a house and stuff like that. But from dealing with him, like, what was your relationship with him?
Nah, man, he's a good guy, man.
Okay.
Nah, real talk, like, he was generally a good guy, man.
Because you guys were competing for a position as well. So yeah, how was that dynamic?
It was like, it was good competition. Like, I think we pushed each other. Like, we both were in double figures that season as well. Like, and I think, like, you know, obviously, you know, he played more of the games, but like it was like a rivalry where like it was helping the team, and it was good, you know. Like when he was out, I was scoring. When I was out, he was scoring. So like it was, you know, obviously we didn't grace the pitch together much, but like one. But it was good, man. And like in training, man, he's an amazing player, man. Real talk.
Okay, so like because over here people sort of say like he's unprofessional or he takes it easy, he hasn't maximized his talent. But from working with him, like, what was your experience?
Mate, the guy's got talent, man. You can see, like, you know, the hype that was around him. Like, the guy would do things, like, you think, like, what the how?
So, like, what? Give us examples. That would
or just, like, flicks, one-touch passing, like, you know, like, oh, bro, it's a joke. His touch is amazing, bro. Like, you know, but I think people just have that persona about him where he just like doesn't give a shit, you know. Am I allowed to say shit?
Yeah, of course. Fully independent.
We don't have to do PG.
You know, so like, you know, like when you hear things about the fireworks, I even asked him that one as well. Like I even asked him like, yo, like the fireworks thing, did you? He said, bro, it wasn't even me, man.
Okay.
He said, don't listen to the media. Just hyped up. He said they hyped up the thing and like. He just said he wasn't bothered to even challenge them because they were just all up in his business.
Okay. Now, Dad, if you don't mind, before we just move on from Turkey, I just wanted to speak about the mental challenges, because obviously you explained to us that your children had to learn a new language, go to a new school. And obviously us as fans, we just see you performing on the football pitch. And maybe during that time, it was mentally difficult for you. So how did you sort of deal with that sort of, would I say, adversity, managing your home life with football life?
Yeah, no, it was different. That's what I'm saying. Like, the first 6 months was difficult because it was like, you know, with the family getting used to it. Because obviously, for me, it was easy because, like, you know, I'm going around people, I'm seeing people every day in football, whereas, like, the missus is at home. Like with the kids, get them to school. It's just like them. Like she's not having interactions with anyone really.
So when you're in training, would you be like anxious in terms of like what's happening at home? Is everything okay? Or are you just focused on boom, I'm at training, I have to put everything kind of down?
No, obviously, like, you know, obviously you have to care about your family like 24/7, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have to obviously make sure, like my missus, she's a strong woman, man. Like, she would take things on like head on, you know? And like, you know, coming to Turkey and like she just went full out, she just knew like, okay, this is what we got to do, this is what we're doing. Like, you know, she really rolled up her sleeve.
Yeah. Really got gritty.
Yeah. Yeah. She really rolled up her sleeve and said, yeah, this is what we're doing. We're gonna do it. Like, and it was a sacrifice. And obviously the kids, obviously it took a long time for them to get used to it. But then when they got used to it, they were happy, you know?
Yeah, so like to get to Turkey, you obviously left Middlesbrough, the team that you joined, for a then record transfer fee of like £15 million. So what was that process like, leaving on a free transfer and choosing to go to Turkey? Because if I'm correct, there was loads of interest in you leaving. And some people might look at it and think, Brit's cashed out, going to Turkey. That's how some people might think, you know what? He's thinking about his family long term. So like, what other teams were like interested at the time when you were a free agent?
How long was that? That was like 3 years ago. Damn. To be fair, there was quite a few champ teams.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, I saw the Turkey opportunity and I thought, nah, let me try something different, man. Let me try something different, go abroad. I have always wanted to try abroad. Like, and I think I'll kick myself if I finish my career and say that I didn't try going abroad, you know. And obviously, being on a free, it came at the perfect time, really, because, you know, it probably would have been harder being in a contract than going abroad. But, like, it came at the right time and, like, the money was right for me and it was good for my family. So I chose to take it, man.
So in regards to, obviously, leaving on a free, was there any sort of contract talks with Middlesbrough to potentially extend?
Yeah, when Neil Warnock was the manager at that time, and there was, obviously, contract talks during the season, because, obviously, it's funny, because at the start of the season, he made me captain.
Okay, do you think that was sort of like a...
Yeah, because he asked me, he wanted me to stay. But, you know, they wanted me to sign a contract there and then.
At the start of the season?
And half my money. And I said, no chance.
So why would they want to half your money, though, when you're like...
Captain,
highest paid player at the club.
Yeah, like, but it's probably the fact where it was just... I don't know. The captaincy thing came out. It came out the blue. Like, I didn't go ask for it. It was just one of them ones. Like, and you know, obviously Johnny Howson was the captain at that time. And obviously he had already spoken to Johnny Howson. Johnny Howson said it was fine. You know, and I didn't mind it. Like, obviously, like I was good around the boys. Like, I always gave everyone encouragement. Like, and you know, it was a sick place to be, man. That change room, like, is one of the best change rooms I've been in. Like, and
we had all the man them, what, like Yannick.
Every day, yeah. Like, you would go into training. Like, every day was like, it was just a madness, man. Like, training and in the change rooms, like, it was sick, man.
Yeah, so like, talk to us about the back end of your time at Middlesbrough. Like, Neil Warnock basically saying, yeah, don't come into training. Like, you're obviously leaving on a free. Like, yeah, you don't have to come in. How was that?
It was funny because it was me and Ashley Fletcher at that time. Yeah. That were our contract as well. And obviously, we stopped playing. And it was, you know how it is. Like, fans probably think, like, I'm tossing it off. Ashley's tossing it off. But really and truly, we weren't. We're training every day, obviously trying to get in the team. Obviously, we're not getting in the team, and obviously the gaffer is trying to look for next season. Like, obviously, as you would do as a manager and as a club, you know. And obviously, that's when obviously I was talking about, like, obviously, you know, going signing the contract, but going down. You know, but obviously I didn't want to, you know. So like I had to, you had to respect that, you know. And for me, he was just like. To be fair, he kept saying it, like, every time I went in the squad, like, he won't put me in the squad, he'd just be like, you know, you want to go home? And I'll be like, nah, if I ask him, I'll be like, nah, I'm staying here to train. Like, I didn't want nothing coming back to me, like, oh, Brit's tossing it off, Brit's doing this, like, nah, I was training, like, I'm having days off when the whole team having days off, I'm not having days off just for the sake of having days off, I was there training every day,
True professional.
You know what I'm saying? But the one thing you don't want, you know, you don't want people thinking like you're tossing it off, like, you know, you're just one of them players that, bro, like, I'm there, I've signed a contract, like, I'm making sure I'm there training. If I'm not in the team,
there's not much
I can do. You get what I'm saying? And you know, it was like that for a couple of months. It was just constantly, you want to go home. You know what? This guy was a funny guy. This guy was a funny guy. Like, you know, like proper old man. Like proper
old
straight old school. But bro, he was funny, man.
Yeah.
But like, he just kept the rule. He just kept asking me like every time, bro.
He didn't take the option once.
So many times I'd just be like, Gaffer, so you need to stop asking me this, bro. Like, I'm not gonna go anywhere.
Bro,
you know, like, yeah. Because you know what will happen? I leave, then it'll be like, yeah, let's find Britt. Let's find him because he's not turned up to training. I'll be like, yo, but my man is the one. And then it got to a point where he said, like, oh, listen, the club's going to write you a letter and to say you get your full pay and you can go back to London.
What? So basically put you on leave? Like, basically?
Oh, I was gone, bro.
So
that's mad. Yeah. I can't believe what I've heard, man.
Bro, you know what's mad? I'm a bit baffled because what needs to change in football? Because this is not the first time we're hearing this. We spoke to Yannick Bolasie and at Everton, frozen out. Like, in your opinion, what needs to change? Because surely players shouldn't just be frozen out like this.
No, bro, like, at the end of the day, like, I don't have a grudge against Middlesbrough, because at the end of the day, you got to look at it like from their point of view as well. You know, like, they've got a player, me, who's out of contract, who's not signing a thing. So they got to look for next season. Do you get what I'm saying? Okay, the frozen out part, like, maybe it can be handled different. But I think I wasn't frozen out. Like, I was lucky for me, I was still training with the team, I was still in the first team change room, I was still there, like, still pushing, trying to push the boys, you get what I'm saying? But for other people that I've seen, like, in, you know, and they've just been frozen out, like, they're with training with the 18s, like, you ain't signing a contract, boom, you can go to the side. But they didn't treat me like that, do you get what I'm saying? Like, obviously, the agreement that we had, we came to the agreement together, and then it was cool, like, we left, and obviously, we left on good terms, like, and, you know, the club was great, but for other people that I've seen at other clubs, damn, man.
Well, you've heard some, like, harrowing stories about.
People have to, like, come in, like, when the first team finishes.
Yeah,
like,
we heard that with, like, Cyrus Christie. Yeah.
You know, so. Boy,
bringing him at 3 o'clock, innit, then?
Yeah, 3 o'clock once the first team have left.
Yeah,
I was going to ask you about, I saw some quotes when you and Ashley Fletcher left. He said, basically, it's good that we've got rid of some dressing room cliques. What's your take towards that, like, that parting message from the gaffer?
It's always going to be like that. There's always that, you know, as a manager, you want to get in front of it, wouldn't it? Like, so obviously he tried to get in front of it, but if you ask anybody in that change room about me and Fletch, I was only going to hear good things, bro. You're only going to hear good things. You can't say one bad word. One bad word at all, but manager has to get in front of it and, like, what can we do? What, come back out and be like, yo, nah, it wasn't like this.
That happen though?
If a man wants to be like that, man can be like that, bro. And everyone can take that thing until you hear the side of the story like you're hearing it today.
on that exclusive interview.
You know, so, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, bro, as I said, like, that change room was one of the best change rooms I've been in. And, like, I don't think anyone can say a bad word, man.
I wanted to ask you about one of your teammates, Chuba Akpom, who's doing absolute madness right now. It's weird because, like, when you looked at his career, Arsenal had his loan moves, went to Greece. It looked like, you know, he's just going to be another ex-Arsenal Academy member that didn't make it at the top level. But recently, in the last 12 to 18 months, he's just spiked. He's gone up. Like, it's like a trend that's, it's kind of weird. Well, obviously, you're happy for the brother, like, doing his thing, but, like,
honestly, man, he's doing his thing and he's scoring them goals, man. And, like, I'm so happy for him because obviously, I was training with him, you know, and obviously, like, you know, there's times when he was in, I was out, you know what I'm saying, and then he had the loan back to Greece, obviously, because, you know, the manager at the time wasn't feeding him. And bro, look, like I'm telling you, a manager can make a play sometimes, bro. Like even if that's a arm around the shoulder or like a little bollocking, you know. And bro, he's found a manager that believes in him, bro. That believes in him, and look, it shows on the pitch, bro. Because was it the first half of the season? He wasn't even playing, bro.
Yeah, under Chris Wilder then Woodgate.
My manager, no.
Yeah, yeah. Chris Wilder but, then. Like, sorry, Carrick. Sorry, and Carrick
obviously
came that, in.
You know, obviously Michael Carrick's come in, and obviously has put him in, and like you know, and look what happens. Like this is football, bro. Like anything can happen. Like one person's like take on things could be different for another manager. You get what I'm saying? Like one manager's loss is another manager's gain. Like at the end of the day, like you might not you might do everything for that manager, but it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Like you know, you can't say that he weren't working because he was working. Like I was speaking to the guy, like he was working, but it just doesn't work out sometimes. And obviously now he's come to this half of the season and he's doing his thing, bro. Like, bro, I'm happy for the guy, man.
You make an interesting point about managers fancying players, and you worked under, it's interesting because you worked under Tony Pulis and Neil Warnock. And obviously when you hear about their sort of brands of football, it's like, you know, some people might say it's back to the dark ages. Some people might say it's football basics. But talk to us about working under Tony Pulis, because he's a manager, even speaking to Cyrus, like, he said that Cyrus was too short to play fullback, and I think he's, what, 6'2".
I'll tell you a story about being short. So basically, obviously, Tony Pulis comes in and that, he speaks to me, and, you know, he's like, he's just, you know, showing his authority and that, you know, just being Tony Pulis, you know? I've never met the guy. And, he was like, oh, how are you, Britt? You know, this is one of the first times speaking. How are you, Britt? Like, yeah, no, I'm good, man. Because obviously we just came back from a 2-0 win and he was in the stands ready to be the manager. And me and Martin Braithwaite scored. Oh,
that in that.
Barca. Yeah. So we scored in that game. And so obviously he pulled me in a couple of days later. We had the day off after. And then he was like, you know, Everyone talks about you, man, and you know, everyone tells me that you're a raging bull. And I said, oh, cheers, man. He said, nah, man. All I see is a raging pussycat. I said, what? I said, yeah, man, all I see is a raging pussycat. I said, where you got that from? He said, nah, I just don't think you got it. I said, I literally don't understand. Like, obviously, I came in here, like, you know, thought we were going to have, like, a nice chat. And then he was just like, yeah, no, you're free to go. That's it.
I was free like, to what? Leave?
No, I mean, like, you know.
Leave the room.
Meeting done. And I was baffed. I was thinking, oh, like, went back to the change room. I was just like, boys, bro, I just wasn't there with the gaffer. He's just calling me a raging pussycat, bro. Like, normally, I'm thinking, raw, like, what's just happened there? And obviously, next game, I'm on the bench for the next 20 games.
Is it? Okay, so you think he already made up his mind?
He already made up his mind, man.
So there was nothing you could do to, like, change? Because I know he's playing, what, like, Rudy Gested, Jordan Hugo, like, obviously, those are, like, different statures. Yeah, different statures to you.
Tall. Yeah, like, you wanted more of a target, man. And obviously, it was difficult. It was a difficult time. But to be fair, like, obviously, when he came in, I was on, like, what, 12 goals under Gary Monk, and then I think I scored 3 goals when he came in. It was literally a tough time under him, man. But then obviously the season after, then I was playing a bit more, like half the games I've played. But you know, I still scored some goals. But it was tough playing under him, man. Like,
was it the style of play or the man management? Because with these sort of, let's say, I don't want to say older man, more experienced managers, people can say they haven't got that personal touch, that's what's happening in the modern game. Where you see modern managers, it's more about, you know, that physical contact, talking to you, taking you for meetings.
For him, like, if you were playing, like he's all over the people that are playing. Like, obviously, he weren't too much with those that weren't playing. Like, but obviously, like, some of us, we were big boys, man. Like, sometimes you don't need a manager. Like, you just know, innit? Like, even if you go and speak, ain't nothing going to change. You know what I'm saying?
So did you knock on the door and say, like, gaffer, like, what can I do? Or you knew that this is just a physical problem. I haven't got the attributes for you.
Well, I just knew because there were some games, like, I wasn't even coming on, bro. Or like, you know, you'll bring me on for 30 seconds. And I just know, like, yeah, you know, and then like, you know, and yeah. I was, and then like, you know, you'll speak to him on the training ground and he'll just be like, yeah, just keep, you know, just keep going, you'll get your chance. And I'm just like, yeah, you know, say, you know, say no more. Like, obviously we had like, we had our clashes, you know, with him, like, because he was a tough cookie, that guy.
So
man.
You personally or as players, like?
Nah, me and him, man.
Okay, so yeah, what happened?
Well, we just like, we just clash sometimes, you know. Like, I remember another story, we were out in pre-season in Austria and we think we're doing a crossing and finishing drill. And so you'll get the ball and you spray it out to the guy or you pass it. But I kept spraying it. I kept spraying it. Oh, bro, I'm telling you, I've sprayed it about 8 times, mm-hmm. right on the money. I did one bad one that went wayward. My man stopped the session, but I'm like, we paid 15 million for you. Bro. Well, I was going to go fight him, bro.
As in, like, literally go bro, up to him.
He stopped the session, like, and everyone could hear, like, we paid 15 million for you.
Oh, in front of all the players?
In front of everyone, bro.
Yeah.
And I was just like, bro, don't chat to me like that. Like, you know, if you want to say something to me, say it to my face kind of thing, you know?
And what was like, he saying? Because he seems like a bit of a fiery, you see, he's got that passion.
Yeah. I didn't want confrontation, bro.
Showing in the real heat.
Showing in the real
heat. That guy didn't want confrontation, but you know, that's what, but he's the manager, isn't it? You ain't gonna hear these things, you know, because obviously it happens on the training pitch, you know, but obviously his story is to tell, isn't it? You know, obviously course. like, I'm not going to say a bad word about him. He's the manager. Like, you know, he tried to do his best. I tried to do my best, innit? Like, obviously, as I said, we clashed sometimes. Passion. We clashed a lot. It's
passion.
We clashed a lot because obviously I disagreed with stuff. He disagreed with stuff, you know. But, you know, at the same time, like, for example, oh my days, another story with this guy.
story
number three.
we played, who did we play? We played, was it West Brom? We played West Brom and, you know, he already said the team. He said the team and, like, he was just like, because he had his assistant as well. He said the team, and obviously I went in the team. I hadn't played for a long time. And he was just, he told me the day before, like, obviously we're going, but, you know, really and truly, I don't think I'm gonna need you for the game and that. I was like, cool, I'm still here, innit? I'm gonna still travel either way. Obviously, end up being on the bench for that game. So I imagine I just said, like, nah, that's cool. Like, just leave me at home. Anyways, I obviously went on the bench that game and, like, we kind of had it, like, a couple of days ago in training. Like, it was just,
okay,
like,
yeah, so it was a tense one.
Yeah, it was a tense one anyways, you get what I'm saying? And, so, obviously, we get to the game now and we're losing 2-1. Losing 2-1 and it's like the 70th minute. And obviously I'm sitting now and I've got my stuff ready, like at half time I've put my stuff on just in case. And you know, he's looking around to the bench, but he's not looking at me. He's not looking at me, he doesn't want to look at me, you know. I know, like, there's nothing on for me there. See, there's the assistant manager and the first team coach, obviously they're speaking, like, I think they're telling him, like, just get real on. You know, and obviously, like, I think, and then he turns around. Not even he doesn't turn around. The first thing coach says, come. And then obviously, coming to the game, he says, go and score for us. I'm thinking, but yeah, he spoke to me like flipping for how long are you going to tell me to get you a goal from? But anyways, I go on the pitch now, bang 2 goals, we win the game.
Yeah.
We win the game. And, and obviously come into the change room and he's giving me like, wow, I get that new bro, man. And obviously they showed on the Instagram and Twitter, like, oh, like, yeah, like us giving it the thing. Yeah, I'm thinking, like, right, you guys don't even know what happened, bro. You don't even know what happened a couple of days ago, bro. We didn't win the, you know. But
this is what fans don't see, though, innit?
That's a bad story. Yeah, you know, that's a bad story.
We didn't be that it. But but that's what I'm saying. Like, you can, you know.
Did you start after that, though? Did you get a run in the team?
No, I don't think I started after that. So.
Oh, yeah, that's just.
No, I don't think I started after that. But that's what it is. It's like, that's what I'm saying. It's the passion, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like, obviously, definitely. I want to play. I want to do well, innit? So, like, I'm not gonna let him, like, take away, like, you know, the push that I want to give for the team. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, because at the end of the day, like, I know the boys will fight for me on the pitch. I'm going to fight for them, like, however many minutes I get. So, obviously, like, he was a special character, man. Mm-hmm. But, like, it was, you had to be mentally strong with that guy, man.
Yeah.
You had to be mentally strong.
So, man, did you see people sort of almost like wilt under his sort of man management? Did you see players that kind of just packed it in because of the way he treated them?
I think it was just like he had the ones that he always attack. Do you get what I'm saying? But what can you do, bro?
What, so in that situation, like, did you ever think to escalate it to Steve Gibson? Because I know he's like the owner of the football club. He loves it passionately. Did you ever have words with him?
Nah, man. For me, I think it's like you deal with it. Mm. You deal with it on the pitch, man. Like, no point in getting the hierarchy involved in that kind of stuff. Like, you know, you deal with it on the pitch. Like, you know, there's fights on the pitch. Like, we don't go then tell, you know, Steve Gibson, "Oh, we just had a fight on the pitch." Like, you know,
no,
we fight on the pitch. We fight on the pitch. We leave it there, and then we carry on for the next game. Just like, you know, what I had with Pulis. Like, you know, we had head to head a couple of days before, and then the day before telling me boom, and then on the Saturday I banged two.
Yeah, you know. So you've done your job.
You know, it's not about like, you know, going up there. Now, man, I think for me, whatever problems you have, you just sort it out on the pitch, man.
And that is mad, because obviously we've spoken to players before, and we've spoken to players that have played under like the quote unquote old school manager. So, like, in terms of training, was there any sort of like dress code where you can't wear, for example, watches or chains, or no gloves on the training pitch, shin pads all the time? Was there any sort of like rules?
No. To be fair, they all calm with that. Okay. They just let us be on the training pitch, like. Mm. Like, to be fair, except for Warnock, sometimes he's gotta wear shorts, like, in the cold, like when it's like snowing. That, like,
but
we were hat, gloves. That was all cool, man.
Just very quickly, last one of Middlesbrough. Obviously, going back to Chuba Akpom, we see that he's dominating the Championship right now. 24 goals. Do you think he's got what it takes to play in the Premier League?
Man, he's got quality, man. He's got quality. Like I said, like, he's at the right place right now. He's in a good place in Middlesbrough, and he's got a good manager. Obviously, I don't know him personally, but like, it seems like he's in the right place. And obviously, Jonathan Woodgate is there as well.
Michael Carrick, I had him there. Michael Carrick, I had him there. I know. I had him there. Carrick. Woodgate was there before.
Yeah. Carrick.
Because I was thinking ex players, ex England players. Yeah, it's Carrick.
So obviously, Jonathan Woodgate is assistant manager or first team coach now. So, like, okay, obviously he knows yeah, Chuba as well. So
it's not a complete mate.
You were recovered that one.
So so like, obviously he knows Chuba as well. Like, and okay, you know, he's they're under the right management there. Like, you know, like, obviously Wigger as well was unlucky when he was Middlesbrough manager as well, you know, but you know, he had the right direction, but obviously it just didn't work out. But now, for Chuba, man, yeah, he's got what it takes to keep going, man.
Last one on Middlesbrough for me is, you were the record signing at the time, 15 million, you left on a free. So to anyone looking on the outside, you say, that move didn't work. It was basically like a flop.
Mm.
What would you sort of say to, like, fans or how do you even assess your time at Middlesbrough? Because you were brought into, basically the goal was, come and fire us to the Premier League. You're the highest earner at the club. We want you to do what you've done at Peterborough and Nottingham Forest and do it for us.
Yeah, to be fair, like, I did still score goals. Obviously, my chances were limited, obviously, after Pulis came in. Like, obviously, it was different 18 months. But the first 6 months was so enjoyable under Gary Monk. And obviously, like, with football, managers get sacked and, you know, everything, stuff changed, because obviously we went from, like real attacking football, and then we went to like a whole different aspect of playing, you know. So, you know, it was two different style of plays, but you know, I still tried my best. Like, being at Middlesbrough, I enjoyed it, still scored goals, but you know, obviously our goal was to get promoted. Obviously it didn't work, so it's one of them ones, like, people can take it how they want, really. And obviously, like, under the Pulis era, like, you see how Cyrus left after Pulis. There was a lot of us that were on the verge of leaving, but it just didn't happen.
Yeah, no, I hear that, bro. Take us back to the humble beginnings, man. How did the journey start for you?
For me, man, I started, obviously, Watford. You know, I actually did, like, a Watford development scheme. And I was, like, going to college and playing on, like, Wednesdays. And I ended up having a trial at Watford.
How old were you?
I was 17.
Oh, when you had the trial?
No, 16 when I had the trial. And I signed when I was 17. So, obviously, I had the trial at 16. And it was crazy because when I had the trial at 16, it was in the December. It was in the December when I had a trial, and when we were doing it, obviously I had like 2 weeks, but then it started to snow, and then so like it was mad snow, like,
yeah.
And then like it was mad because the manager for the academy at that time was Mark Warburton.
Oh, okay. He's gone on to have like a decent man in QPR, Brentford.
Yeah, so you know it was Mark Warburton, the manager at that time. And obviously went in to do the trial, and to be fair, I went in as a centre mid, man.
Is it?
Yeah, man.
Not always been a bagsman.
Well, only changed when I was at Watford, man.
Serious?
That's an interesting fact, because I would have thought you're just a natural goal scorer.
Well, only changed when I was. Obviously, I did score goals when I was younger, bro, but just from the centre midfield, man. So it was just like the transition when I got into the Watford Academy. It was just like the manager's like, no, we need to put you in a more attacking position. So obviously had the trial, and then obviously started to snow, and then obviously it got called off. And then I got told, you know, by my Auburn, like I'll get a text, but. Didn't get anything, man. Didn't get nothing. I ain't gonna lie, but I even texted. Was it him that I text? I might have texted him, man. I might have texted him or someone like text. Yo, like what's happening? Yeah. Like I was, you know, I still got 4 weeks left of my trial. Like, yo, I'm trying to get that, you know. But no, I got no reply, no nothing. And then like went back to the college stuff, still playing the games, and then. See, he Mark Warburton leaves, and then a new manager comes in, and this is about March, April times, and I get told to come in again. So then I have my trial then, and I do well and end up getting in.
So what, that must have been a lot of pressure though, because you're thinking, oh, maybe they don't want me. Then you've had that gap to think about it, then you go back. So what was your mentality when you went back after that long break?
Yeah, no, I was just like, you know, hopefully something comes of it, man. And to be fair, in between that, I had a trial at Nottingham Forest, man.
Okay, the team that you later played for.
Didn't get in, man. You know.
You got in later on, though, didn't it?
Didn't get in, like, I just got the letter, like, after the trial, just saying that, you know, we were signing these two other guys.
So did you know, like, players normally when they go on trial they get a sneak thing like, I didn't perform, didn't score, didn't bag, or did you think you were actually gonna get in?
I enjoyed that at Forest as well, man, and I thought I did well, but you know, they signed two guys from Greece, so you know, obviously they got in ahead of me, and like they just said there was no space left, but this is football, bro, at the end of the day, man, you know, so It was what it was, man.
So, like, talk to us about maybe your time at going on loan. Because I know at Watford, you went on loan. And I think going away on loan as a youngster to all these, like, National League clubs or League Two, it's a great sort of breeding ground in terms of the other side of the game. Because people normally associate, like, Championship clubs, Premier League clubs. It's like home comforts.
Yeah.
You've got the kit laid out for you. You've got the training tops, the night kits and stuff like that. So how did you find going down to like the bottom leagues?
Well, for me, it was just going to play football, man.
Yeah.
Like, I remember obviously Sean Dyche was the manager at the time, and he rang me and he said, you know, I want you to go out on loan to Wolverhampton. And for me, I was just like, yeah, man. Like, well, I'm training every day with the first team. I'm not playing, so what's going to hurt? I'm allowed to still train with the first team and then play on a Saturday for Waterstones. So I'll just, you know, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I just won't train with the first team, just have training with Waterstones. But every other day, I'm still training with the first team. So it was a no-brainer. Like, you know, go out, play men's football. Like, I'm young. I was, what, 18 at the time. You know, I'm young and, you know, I enjoyed it, man. Like, obviously, different. You know, you come into a Watford training and you got your kit rolled up in a
plush facilities.
But it was nice, man. It was a nice feeling, like, you know, to be somewhere different, like, and to know that, like, yo, you got to buck up your ideas, man, and keep pushing.
Because your first, when you sort of rose to, let's say, fame or dominance, or caught my eye anyway, was at Peterborough, when you were just knocking it in. Yeah. Obviously, like, Peterborough have got, like, a good track record on bringing, you know, forwards through, you know, Mekel Smith, George Boyd.
Yeah.
There's like a contingency. So how was it?
Tony.
Yeah. Ivan Tony as well. So how was it going to that club, and what was the message from the hierarchy? Because I listen a lot to like Barry Fry, Darren McAntony. Yeah. They always like players coming in, score your goals and leave. Go on to that.
Nah, it was good, man. Because obviously before then, obviously I had my loan to Southend.
Yeah.
You know, so that wasn't the first time I obviously went into league football. So obviously, you know, I scored 15 goals when I was 19, you know, there. And like, obviously I came back to Watford and they wanted me to go out on loan again. And this was to go to Bristol City on loan. And that's when Peterborough came in and they said they wanted permanent. And I said, yeah, man, I'm going to go permanent, man, because... See, at that time, you had Troy, you had Vidra, you had a few other strikers that came in when the new owners...
Pozos.
Yeah, when they came in. So, like, it was a flurry of strikers, you know. And when I spoke to Gianfranco Zola, like, he wanted me just to go out alone. But I just said, nah, man, like, I need to spread my wings, man. Like, so, obviously, I went to Peterborough, like, and... When I spoke to Barry Fiber, I just knew, like, yeah, man, I like this guy, man.
Yeah,
you know, I spoke to
Darren. Proper old school,
man. Mm. Spoke to the owner. I spoke to Darren Ferguson, like, and yeah, man. I just said, yeah, man, I'm gonna come to Peterborough, man.
So obviously, you go to Peterborough, you knock in 23 goals in the season. What happens next?
Yeah, so it was crazy because when the season, because obviously we're in the playoffs and we lost to Leyton Orient in the playoffs, and you know, obviously the season finishes and that, and obviously we then do pre-season, and my agent tells me there's a few teams that want you, Swansea being one of them. Okay. And then so, you know, I'm still young, so like I've literally just moved to Peterborough. It's literally been, it's like 9 months, like, and you know, I've just signed a 4-year contract, you know, and you know, he was just like, you know, just keep doing your thing, blah, blah, blah. And then he calls me, said like, after we play, I can't remember what pre-season game it was, but he called me before. He said, like, you know, Forrest are coming to have a look at you. And I said, okay, cool. Like, what are you telling me before the game, man? No, like, I was just trying to concentrate on the game. Man. And I think it was against the Luton. It was against Luton in one of the, I think I scored a penalty in that preseason game. And then he calls me after the game. He said, yeah, man, this one. I said, I swear, like, how one? And he said, I'll let you know. Well, next couple of days, it was like, yeah, they're putting in a bid. I was like, rah. And I was, because obviously I was speaking to my mum and dad and that, and saying, because obviously when they're on trial, they didn't get in.
Yeah, so it's funny, like, how everything goes full circle, isn't it?
You know,
yeah.
When they're on trial, didn't get in, and you know, like, it was mad. But then I said, you know what, like, you know, if that one comes in, like, you know, I'm gonna do it, man. So he spoke with Darren Ferguson, spoke with the owner, man, and bro, like, I'm telling you, like, man, they gave me their blessings, man. Like, they wanted me to go and do, obviously, like, they didn't want to lose me, but at the end of the day, like,
they seem like, know, almost, if the financials are correct for the club, they'll do it.
Yeah,
they like sort of almost see it as like a feeder club, like, we bring in the talent, do your business, yeah, go and spread your wings.
Yeah, man. And like, honestly, man, like, it's a great club, man. Great club to be at, man, especially for attackers, man. Like, you just, yeah, you know, the track record,
yeah,
man.
Bro, stacks,
and like,
up,
bro, like, it was amazing. Like what they've done with the club, man, is amazing. And especially Darren Ferguson, man, like incredible manager, man.
Yeah, he always seems to like he'll leave, then he comes back, he leaves, comes back. Like, I don't know how many spells he's had at the club. Like
he just... because they know what he can do, man. He'll bring them up again, man. Like honestly, Darren Ferguson, what a guy, man. Like what a proper guy, man. Loved him, man.
Mm, so you went to Nottingham Forest. Obviously, your track record was that one goal every two games, basically. How was that experience playing at Nottingham Forest?
Nah, man, it was good, man. Obviously, you know, coming back to the Championship, obviously, like really playing, you know, because obviously I only played four games for Watford in the Champ, you know, and you know to come to Forest and really play, like it was like to go straight in and play, you know. It was sick, man. And obviously, I had Stuart Pearce as the manager. Yeah, yeah. And he was really good, man. He was really good. But then he gets sacked, innit? Yeah,
that's the story. I wanted to like talk to you about one of your teammates, yeah. Mikel Antonio. Yeah. Like, he's gone on to have a sick career, being West Ham's number nine. He's been a winger, striker, right back. I think at Forest was a right back, if I'm not mistaken.
He played left wing, man.
Left wing, okay.
Yeah, he played predominantly left wing, and bro, he was crazy, man, on the left, man. He was crazy. That guy was a bulldozer, man.
Yeah,
I swear, man. That guy running to anything. No one's taking him down. Yeah, I'm telling you.
What people be falling?
No one's taking him. That guy is strong as fuck, man. Seriously, man. But like, he was such a good guy, man. He was my roomie as well. Like we used to room like, and like, yeah, no proper. Proper good guy, man.
Okay, what? So you're still in contact with him?
Yeah,
now?
Man. Yeah, yeah, man.
Okay,
yeah,
he's gonna get him on. Get him on this for us. Yeah, I drop him a text. No, I just wanted to ask in terms of your mentality, because obviously you're at Watford, then you go out on loan, prove yourself, knocking 24 goals, go to Peterborough. Now you're the man. Come back to the Champ. Where's your mindset at? Like, are you feeling like a different player?
Nah, man. It's just look, I grew from being at Southend to then going to Peterborough, and then from Peterborough I feel like I just grew even more going to Forest. Like, yeah, it was a whole different ball game.
So you know, was you going onto the pitch knowing that you're scoring, kind of thing?
Oh, like for me, like I just know, like, you know, I got that feeling, man. I just got that feeling. I know when I got that feeling, I got that feeling. Like I'm, that, you know, like, that's why I call myself the fox, bro. I can sniff out something, man. And in the small room, I'll sniff it out, man. Yeah, you know, yeah. But you know, like it's the run of games. You know, when you get the game time and you're playing games, man, you get the fitness and you got the sharpness, man. Like, you can do anything, man.
Because when you left Nottingham Forest to go to Middlesbrough for that record bid, apparently there was Premier League clubs interested, but I think Middlesbrough sort of dwarfed them in terms of the fee they were offering and the contract. Yeah, what Prem teams were looking at? You?
Obviously, Burnley made the bid, but. It got rejected. And
what, under Sean Dyche?
Under Sean Dyche.
Okay,
yeah,
that
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah,
obviously,
under Sean
Dyche.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it got rejected. Then obviously they obviously accepted Middlesbrough one. Obviously it was difficult at that time because obviously like when Mark Woodburn was my manager when I was leaving.
Okay,
I was like, well, I've just been
bro.
Going
yeah.
I've just been linking everyone like, yeah. And yeah, he was my manager at the time. And when I had a conversation with him, like he wanted me to stay. Like, bro, I was happy to stay, bro. I was happy to stay, like, to sign a new contract, but the owners were just like, nah.
Okay, we're not in the Forest.
Yeah, we want to cash in, man.
Okay.
We want to cash in, and it was just like...
So which other teams were interested? Because apparently there was Bear from, like, abroad, Premier League.
Yeah, there was a few abroad, but, like, at that time, I just didn't feel like... Mm-hmm. You know, I did want to go to the Premier League, but it didn't materialize after that bid.
So just, you know, it was just Burnley.
Burnley was that was the proper
concrete
interest. Mm. Like the others was just like, it was just interest. Like what's going on? Like I don't count them as until something's on the table. And
yeah.
Burnley was on the table, you know. And but you know it didn't escalate from there. You know, and obviously like the Middlesbrough thing came in, and. You know, obviously, I was happy to go, like, at the end of the day, but, like, I was also happy to stay at Forest.
So were you almost nudged out, like, listen, this bid, 15 mil, you got a cut?
Yeah, in a way, I was kind of nudged out, because then 2 weeks later, he sold the club, didn't he?
Wow. So he wanted to pocket that and duck. He wanted to pocket
it. It was a nasty game.
Yeah, so, 2 weeks later, however long that he sold the club afterwards anyway, so, like, you know. yeah, so that was that, bro.
Yeah. So in terms of that Burnley bid, was a figure kind of like mooted to you in terms of a transfer fee?
Yeah, they bidded 8 mil. Eight mil at that time. Mm. And that got rejected.
So Middlesbrough basically doubled.
Yeah, basically doubled it.
Jeez. So did you almost like agitate for the move that, look, I want to go Premier League? Like,
but my buyout clause was 15 mil. So like Middlesbrough activated it straight.
Okay. That's interesting.
So they activated it straight. So it was like they had the freedom to speak with me.
Okay, well, do you have any more questions on... Yeah, I wanted to talk about the here and now. Mm. Obviously, as you said, your career's basically gone full circle. So you're back at Watford. Obviously, the move materialised a month or two ago. And how has that been? Because I know when I phoned you, it was on the same day the manager got sacked.
Yeah.
So you're like, literally, bro, I don't even know my schedule.
I'm sure that happens every month at Watford. Yeah. The manager getting sacked. No comment.
I've been in 6 weeks with two managers, bro. But this is football, bro. Mm. This is football. This is the industry that we're in, bro. Mm. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, man. Mm. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But like, when you call me, obviously, like, manager got the sack and that, and well, like I said, but I didn't even know what the next day was. What time? It was kind of late, innit?
Yeah, like evening time.
It was like evening time. Like, we didn't even have the schedule yet, bro. What's happening tomorrow? So like, you know, because obviously, big change, and you know, waiting on the schedule. So yeah, no, obviously different. But like, obviously, I've been at loads of clubs where I've had loads of managers. Middlesbrough had loads of managers.
It'll be interesting though to know the stat of when you first left Watford to now, how many managers they've had. It'll probably be probably 20, 30, 40. Yeah. If any Watford fans can do it for us and leave it in the comments.
Leave it in the comments.
Yeah, there's been a lot of managers, man. There's been a lot of managers at the club, but listen, when you own the club, you own the club, innit? You do what you want.
So how are you finding it though, like being back on home soil, obviously coming back after Turkey, like what's the fitness like? Because I've been seeing that you've been playing for like 15 minutes, 20 minutes.
Obviously, when I was out in Turkey, obviously, I was cast away. Like, obviously,
oh, you were banished.
Yeah, bro, I was cast away. So I was doing the training like myself. But then I got moved to doing it with the team again. And then,
so why were you banished? Obviously, I know we've spoken about it, but why?
With the whole money situation and stuff like
that. Oh, because basically, paid, like, you're like, kicking up a fight. Not kicking up a... Obviously, chafing. You're rightly owed your money. And you're making
just
a fuss.
Yeah, and it just, like... You know, it just got in the way, and you know, it was just like kind of like, yeah, you need to go. So obviously, like, I'm still trying to do training. I'm not playing much, you know. And then obviously the Watford thing come in, like, you know, I want to play, but I need to get my fitness levels up to that, you know. And now I'm there, you know. I'm feeling good, like, you know. I've just played the under-21s game like before I came.
Okay, yeah. Just, can't,
you know,
even
we,
tell.
We just won 1-0, you know. I scored.
Okay.
You know?
Oh yeah.
You know, just to get there. You know, but like for me, well, goal's a goal, but wherever you're playing, yeah, man, you know, wherever you're playing, just to get that feeling again and get that sharpness back again, you know. And like,
I've even seen you scored already for Watford. That was a sweaty goal, but they all can't.
Bro, they can come off my cheek.
That goal was funny,
bro,
though, isn't it?
You know, but they all count. No, they all count, man. They all count. And you know, obviously, now that I'm getting my fitness back there again, like I'm starting to be where I want to be, like, you know. And obviously it's the last push, man, and hopefully we can get in the playoffs, man.
So where in terms of a percentage would you say you feel like physically right now? Because I know you've been playing like 20 minutes 15 minutes.
Yeah, because I'm feeling better now with the more minutes I'm getting. Last two games, like, what, 20-30 minutes I played, you know. And like, that, it's been good for me, man. And I think, like, hopefully get a start one time, like, obviously God's grace. But you know, I think right now I'd say, like, you know, if I'm asked to start, but I can make that start, bro, and I can give a good fight, bro.
And how would you like sum up the dressing room? Because for me, Watford should really be in that top two, pushing for promotion, and obviously way off the pace this season. Obviously, I know you've been there for a short time, but in terms of the dressing room, what sort of mentality have you seen?
No, like, everyone's got a good mentality, man. Everyone wants to do well, but I just don't think it's just clicked. It's just not clicked, man. It's not clicked. Like, we've had, like, since I've been here, there's been loads of draws as well, you know. And like, it can be loads of stuff, man. But we got the players, we have the players, man. We got the quality, but you know, sometimes it just doesn't get together. And I think, like, after obviously we you know, we drew last game, and then the game before that we won
Wigan
3-0.
As well. Wigan's, you know, a team that, no disrespect, like, to them, you expect with the players you got, like, be putting them Sema, away. KD, all these men should be putting.
And I think, like, it's only down to ourselves, you know, when, like, we have to do better. You know, we have to do better. And at the end of the day, like, we can only blame ourselves, like, to you know, not being where we should be, you know. And like I said, it's just not come together in some games, you know. And, like, you know, if you turn some of these draws into wins, and, like, it's a whole different aspect in when you're looking at the table. But what more can you say? But the group in terms of quality, man, it's up there, man.
So what's your mindset in terms of your deal? Because I know you got a 6-month contract, and I think Watford retain a right to give you an extra year.
Yeah.
So, like, what's your mindset in terms of that deal structure?
Bro, I'm not even looking at the summertime, bro. Like, right now, man, this is my focus. I'm trying to help in any way possible, bro, to try to get Watford up, man. Like, regardless if I'm here or not, bro, I'm just trying my best, like, on the pitch, man. Like, I would do for any team, man, that I'm at. Like, so I'm not even looking at that side of things, because I got to do what I got to do now. Then we look at that.
And if this takes care of itself, then that will
take care of itself. Do you get what I'm saying?
No, facts.
You know, so, like, for now, for me, just to focus on the now.
Not Watford, no.
So, yeah, talk to us about your international career.
I know, the international career was good, man.
Like, was good.
It was good, because obviously I haven't been back in a long time. Like, so, okay, I wouldn't say was good, is good.
Okay, so have you retired or?
No, I'm not retired, but okay. I mean, like, I haven't been back in a long time. You know?
So what's
when was the last time I went? Was it AFCON? Well, that was 2017.
Wow. So it's.
Or 2019.
It's mad because, like, you see players to prolong their career say, you know what, international football, I'm going to call it a day early so I can focus on my club career. Has that, obviously it's been 5 years since you've last had a call up, has that sort of come into your mind thinking, hold on, this is almost a myth, let me just focus on club football?
No, like, obviously I ain't got the call up. Like, it's just one of them ones. You hold your hand up and say you just didn't get the call up, you know. So, obviously, when I was going, like, it was an amazing experience. Like, it was a whole different culture, man. Like, before the games, like, you know, normally when you're going to a game with your club, like, it's like you're in a coach, everyone's got their headphones in, everyone's like this, everyone's on the focus, like, you know, you see man screwing like they're in the game. But then you come to Africa now.
The music.
I was sitting on the bus for the first time going to the game. Like, I was thinking, yo, like, everyone's tuned in. Like, oh, everyone's ready for this game. Like, and I just hear
the drums.
I said, what's happening, man? And everyone is just like, boom, 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 boom. And someone's singing at the back. Everyone's joining in. It was mad, bro.
Yeah, that's mad. African culture. Mm-hmm. Like, we see with Nigeria, Ghana. It's,
bro,
just,
it's crazy.
It's
and you're going into the stadium. Everyone is in the huddle. Going into the change room, dancing, singing. It's a whole different thing.
So what, is there any reasoning for you not playing for Congo? Because it doesn't really make sense. Mm. Within that period, you've been a record signing transfer, you've done your thing, you've banged in goals. So who are the strikers? I know, was it?
Bakambu.
Cedric Bakambu.
Marseille, yeah, at Villarreal.
Yeah,
he's
in China at the time.
Yeah.
Bokani.
Mbokani, he was at Norwich
as well. Like, you know, so, like, obviously, it just didn't work out, man. Like, so I had fun, like, at the African Nations. Like, I had my chance, but see, one of the boys got injured. So
do you have dialogue with the Congo Association of Football? Like, did they speak to you and say, Brit, we've got an eye on you, like, keep doing your thing, or is it just totally dead?
No, it's totally dead. I don't think anyone really gets. It's just like. It depends who the manager is, bro. Mm-hmm. Then that's when they get in contact with you and say, like, normally there's a player liaison. Literally, you won't speak to him. Boom, you get like a draft saying, yeah, you're called up.
Okay, so that leads a wider question, because we spoke to Alex Wolby about this as well, the sort of infrastructure around African football. And again, we saw Senegal do well in the competition. Mm-hmm. Even Morocco do very, very well. And I think for the game to progress in Africa, there needs to be that sort of structure in terms of the infrastructure.
No, 100%.
What's your experience in terms of that whole setup when you're at your club football compared to Africa?
Yeah, no, there is a big difference. There is a big difference, man. The structure needs to be better. Like, you know, and I think, like, Africa in the whole can go a long way, man. Can go a long way, like, and, like, you know, it's, for example, Congo, we have loads of good players, man. And, like, you know, we should be going to World Cups. We should be going to World Cups. Look at Morocco, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're doing so well. You know, we should be going to World Cups. But, like, sometimes I feel like we're let down by the structure of, you know, the things. And a lot of the managers have been trying to change it, but it's more than the manager sometimes, man.
So when you say structure, like, what's the granular detail? Because it's like a buzzword, structure, project. So what's the actual details when you mean, when you, what you mean by structure?
I would, for example, I'll give you a story, man.
This has been a story part.
Story number five.
So we had African Nations, right? And who was our first game against? Who was our first game against, man? I can't remember. It was our first game. And, you know, doctor's supposed to sort out everyone's medical stuff. Mm. Yeah? Supposed to sort out all the medical stuff. Like, obviously, day before the game, he's not, like, you're supposed to send the medical stuff to the AFCON, the federation thing, like, to, you know, straight so you know everyone, everything, whatever it is. Obviously, doctor's not done it. We're in the hospital for about 6 hours the day before the game. Don't even train. We don't train. Like, 6 hours before the game, everyone has to do their medical stuff and that. We don't train, bro. And then, like, we got slapped.
Oh, okay, what's it?
We got slapped.
What, who did you play?
I can't remember.
Was it like a big team or like a team you should have been beating?
I can't remember who it was. We got slapped by Egypt as well, to be fair.
Okay, but Salah there.
Yeah.
How was he scored?
But he wasn't, I don't know, I don't think he scored, but he wasn't like
what he is now.
Nah, he, like, the guy that was that teared it up was Trezeguet.
Yeah, Trezeguet will be
sprinting. He teared it up. It wasn't like you weren't even looking at Salah. You're looking at that Trezeguet guy. He teared it up, man.
Okay.
Like, he was good that game, man. Really good, man.
So yeah, that's an example, because again, we want African associations to improve, to be better, hold themselves in a higher standard, because if you get off the pitch correct, it falls onto on the pitch.
Yeah, 100%, man. 100%. The structure has to be there, man. It has to be there, man. Like, we can do so much better. Just like that story I told you, like.
Yeah.
We've heard some mad stories.
Yeah. Things can be so much, it can be done so much better, man. But sometimes it's out of the manager's control. And, you know, it's a whole. It's a whole thing. Everyone needs to do it as a whole. Like, the people upstairs need to do better.
Like, I think in Africa, you always hear about, obviously we're Nigerian and people say, oh, 419 or whatever. Yeah. In these African contents, maybe they're given the finances, but it's not trickling down to the players. It's being pocketed. So they're trying to take shortcuts and stuff like that.
Bro, but like, you know, we say this as in people in Africa do it, but it happens around the world, man. It happens with agencies. It happens, bro. It's not just the African man that's doing it, but you got the other man that's doing it as well, bro.
Okay, what are you experienced?
They're just doing it slightly, like. They're just doing it slightly, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, man, everyone has got to eat, but at the same time,
you got to do it with integrity, man.
Eat and let man them.
Come up, bro.
Hopefully it changes, man.
Yeah, no. So we're gonna move on to life outside of football. What does Brick get up to when he's not playing the beautiful game?
On the Beautiful Game podcast. I like that one.
Well, obviously, I got my clothing line that I work on every day, called SPKD. Stop People Killing Dreams. I work on that. Like, flipping every day, man. Just like trying to get it better, you know, getting samples in, like talking to people out in different countries, like, you know, just trying to get it to where it needs to be, man. And
we've got even some drip there, if we can show some, innit?
Yeah, see, like, this is one of the tops that's just come out, Drip Chaser.
Yeah,
you know, it's come out, the jacket, flipping the hat,
jacket,
t-shirt, hat. So you go on the website www.
You don't even have to be prompted, man.
www.spkdlifestyle.com link below.
You've been watching YouTube, bro. Yeah, you've been watching the
video. Nah, but you know what? It's my daughter, man. Yeah. Every time she's doing her little recordings, bro, she's like, yeah, yeah, please subscribe to my channel. So now I'm doing it for her. Like, yo, link below, bro, SPKD.
Nah, nice. So like in terms of inspiration, like we've seen, you know, a few footballers go down the fashion route. Ones that have been successful, Reece Wabara. There's Dimitri Mitchell at things at Exeter now. Mm. He's got Benair clothing. Mm. So like, do you look at any of those as like maybe inspiration in terms
of? I like to hear everyone's story, man. Mm. Like I'm a person that wants to see and hear every angle of like how people have done it, you know what I'm saying? And for me, it triggered like when I broke my knee. When I was out for 14 months, like, and I was bedbound for about 4 to 5 months. Mm. Like, and that's when I started to work on SPKD, man. Because I love fashion, man. I love fashion. I'll wear what I want.
Yeah, when like, you came in, you're like, yeah, this is a unique style.
You see the trousers,
yeah,
bro. Not many people can rock these trousers.
You pulled it off. Trousers are cold.
I'm a rocket, bro. No one gonna tell me shit.
Came in to do fashion.
Ain't no one gonna tell me shit, bro. Like, I'll rock these, bro. You know, but like, obviously, that's when it started. And like ever since then, man, just been pushing it, man.
We didn't even speak too much about your injury. So like, talk to us about that, because it probably came at a time when you were at a mad trajectory, like on your way to the Prem. Obviously, you can still get there with Watford, but how was that in terms of, not let me say defining your career, but in terms of coming back from that setback?
Yeah, but it was difficult because I had 15 goals by that time, man, and there was still... It was still about 20 games left, man, and I was flying, man. But it was when I just take the shot and then my knee just breaks, gone, you know. And obviously going to the hospital and then the surgeon telling me, like, looking at me like, oof, like, you'll do well to come back from this.
Okay, what this could potentially...
We always hear that message, though, Britt. Like, surely surgeons need to stop saying, oh, you'll be lucky again to play. Like, it's the biggest cliche thing that we always hear, bro.
Maybe he was up his arse or something. Yeah. he did the job. He did the job. Yeah. You get what I'm saying? He did the job. He got me back, you know. But obviously, he did tell me, like, yo, this... Because obviously, my one was a patella tendon. It wasn't an ACL. Wow. It wasn't none of that. Like, this was the worst of the worst. Mm. Like, yo, they had to, you know, graft my hamstring from my left side, tie up my knee with my hamstring, put bolts in there. Got 3/4 of a knee, but bro, I'm still here, bro. Still fighting, bro. You know, like he said, like it wasn't gonna be, I'll be lucky to play, bro. But after the fourth month, when he saw my knee, he was just like, wow, how the fuck did you get to this position? You know, and I said, like, bro, I'm a fighter, man, and like I got to where I needed to be, man, and I got myself back, man.
No, true mindset.
Just last one on that one is in terms of. Mentally, because we've spoken to Moses Odubajo, and when he had his long-term injury, he was in a trajectory where he could be playing Prem the next season. And he came onto this platform and said that the mental challenges were mad. He suffered from depression. Viv Solomon also came onto this platform and said, listen, when he was injured, he just wanted to be bedbound. Mm. How was that recovery process for you, bro?
Yeah, because obviously, honestly, I did it. Not them, obviously, I went back home. Mm. So I was running the friends and family. Like, obviously, I was bedbound for three, four months. Like,
is that physical because of your leg or because you weren't in a great place?
No, physical, bro.
Okay, you couldn't...
Bro, I couldn't shower for 3-4 months, bro. Wow. Well, Mrs. is the one washing me with flannel in that. Wow.
Nah, it's not even funny, but that's...
Bro, we're flannel, bro. That's stinking, bro. Wow. Stinking, like, and obviously, like, bro, like... Like, I couldn't take care of myself. I think, obviously, it was hard mentally, bro. We started eating. I was just eating trash, bro. Like,
what, so, like, binge eating?
Bro, I was binge eating, man.
No, like, McDonald's, like, and all that.
No, huh? not like that, but just, like, well, just eating what, like, I wanted. Like, it was just, like, you know, my mum's... My mum feels sorry. When she feels sorry for you, she... bringing knock-knock. You know, it was like that, but... You know, I think in terms of the mental side of things, like it was tough, man. That first 3-4 months, because I couldn't do nothing, bro. Like I was just in that bed, wake up in that bed, like might stand up for a little bit, but then, bro, because my knee was just in a locked position. Mm. it was just in a locked position for 3-4 months until they changed the degrees and I was able to bend a little bit, just a little bit.
Nah, love for sharing that story because I know a lot of Premier League and Championship footballers listen to this podcast, and even some of them that are injured right now obviously reached out to me today and said that they're locked in, they listened to it. So I think you telling your story will sort of like help them like to keep.
Yeah, it's hard, man. It is hard, man. When you're injured and you're coming into training, like, and you're seeing the other guys playing, training, having a laugh, and you're just there like coming in the morning. And the worst one is when everyone asks, "How was it? How was it? How was it?" Well, you answer about 10 guys, bro, and the same guy will ask you the next day, and you're thinking, "Bro, but I just told you yesterday, bro." It's the same thing where you're still telling me, "How was it?"
Yeah.
Yo, that's out for 40 months, bro. But it's nice that everyone still cares. You get what I'm saying, like, regardless. But you know, it's tough, like, knowing that you're here. And like, your goal is to get there, to get back playing, man. Tough.
So like, I know we were talking about outside the pitch. You spoke about your clothing line. Is there any other sort of things you're doing? Because a lot of players sort of say, you know what, I sink my peas into property, or I invest in, I don't know, stocks or
Bitcoin,
other businesses, or
Rollies.
Yeah. Well, I got the Casio on, man. Okay, I got the Casio, bro. this is easy for me, man. Like, I like watches. But, like, you know, I like to keep it simple as well. Obviously, I do my property stuff. And obviously, got my chauffeuring business as well. Like, okay. Yeah. And obviously, that's, like, in England and overseas as well. So, you know, like, I've got a lot of things that, like, I keep in check with, man.
Okay, so how do you sort of manage that? Because, again, you've got football, clothing line. Do you build, like, do you surround yourself with, like, a team that sort of, okay, this guy takes care of this, or... Are you sort of like still headed operations?
Yeah, no, like, bro, I like to get involved, man, and everything, man. I like to be full on with it all, man. Like, bro, like, I get back home, see, chill with the kids and stuff like that. Like, as soon as the kids go to bed, bro, I'm in full work mode, man. Full work mode. And then I'll play Call of Duty, bro. Bro, I will never play until I finish all my work, and then I'll
hit. Makes sense.
Then I'll hit Call of Duty. He even knows that. I tell him all the time.
So what, is bro helping out with the businesses and
yeah,
that?
Yeah, bro. Everyone, bro. Yeah. Everyone, man. All the boys, my family, everyone, bro.
A family.
When
like
it started, when I first started, and everyone was helping doing orders, for example. Now, obviously, it's in the warehouse, and the orders are going. Obviously, you order. Order gets sent out. Like, not doing that no more. Like, before it was like
in the house.
Okay. Yeah. Going to the post office.
Full room, and you're just going to the post office every day. You know, now it's obviously taken and it's going.
It's scaling up.
Yeah, man.
Nah, big up, bro. He's been having a jolly up in the background laughing the episode. But yeah, no, last one on outside
I think
football.
We should even show some of the pieces for the camera. We can just, so we can show. I know some people might want to get some drip.
Even the Watford shirt, we'll take that.
It's for you guys.
Jeez, man. I don't know if hats work on me, you know.
Well, don't worry, bro. Whoever comes on the thing, you say, yeah.
Love, my bro.
These are the new ones still.
Love.
2TBG, yeah, the Messi. Bro.
Top man.
Watford shirt.
Love.
Got some hats as well. Looking cold. I'm definitely going to be rocking these. I got a big head though. This like one side.
Come on, man. You know, Brit's got it all patterned.
Showing the sizes.
Yeah, these are the new ones that just dropped.
Cold. But the branding is strong. Yeah, it's still different.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
No, so Brit, very last one on life outside of football. Yeah, in the whip, date night with the missus. Head into Bagatelle.
We're heading to Nando's. Don't tell
what, him. What's on the playlist?
What, if I'm music. Listening to music?
Yeah.
Oh,
is it Afro beats? Is it hip hop? Is it old school?
Yeah, it's definitely Afro beats, man.
Okay.
Taking over.
It's definitely Afro beats. Like, my missus is dropping that for the kids. That when the kids are in the car now, they're telling my missus, yo, Afrobeat.
Is it? Yeah.
You know, my missus is white.
Big up missus.
My kids.
My kids are culture, man.
Yeah, my kids, like, she knows all the songs now. My kids know it, like, they're telling mommy, like, on the way to school, like, you got to play this. But you should see her playlist now change from what she used to do.
So what tunes, like, what kind of artists are you playing it from?
Like, they listen to everything, man. Like, my little girl was listening to Davido. My baby Jojo, that one.
Yeah.
Okay. What's that called? My little girl was singing that in the film. My missus calling me like, "Oh, Brit, like, Amaya wants that song. What's that song?" I said, "What song, man?" And she starts saying, "Yeah." You know, so you know, it's nice. Yeah, we'll probably got Afrobeats, man. Mm-hmm. Afrobeats.
Yeah, I'm cool.
Yeah, so we've got a closing tradition on this podcast, but very quickly, you've been...
Yeah, this has been...
amazing.
1 hour, 20 minutes. That's flown, bro. And we were like, listen, we're going to keep this until
it's been fun, man.
Bro, this has been dope.
Yeah, it's been amazing. The insight, the five stories that you gave us.
I've got loads more, man. But
no, man, we'll definitely run a
party. Five stories, five-star podcast. That's it, bro.
Five-star clothing brand.
Yeah. Facts.
But yeah, we've got a closing tradition on this podcast where we ask our guests that's experienced the TBG experience to recommend a potential future guest for us to get onto this platform that you've either played with or who has been a coach or has been influential in your football career. So if you had to recommend one person in football to come onto this platform, who would it be, bro?
Oof. Anyone. Damn, you guys just hit me just.
I know, flat. I did hit. That's
why tell me before,
I tried to make it easier for you. That's why I said, Mikel, you're gonna help us. That's why I said, Mikel. I tried to make it easy for you.
No, you know what? I would say Mikel Antonio.
Okay,
he'd be good for this podcast, man.
Okay. He's got energy.
He's got energy.
Stories for days.
Yeah. He'll tell you some good stories. One's at Lottenham as well, bro.
No, we'll try and make that happen, man. What, do you think you can make it happen, potentially?
I'll get on the phone to him, man.
Okay. And you're a man of your word as well. So
yeah, very brilliant.
Well, if he watches this now, he's going to have to do it now.
Yeah. On the spot, on blast. But yeah, man, I said, you've been a pleasure. To deal with from start to finish. When we first had that phone call, everything was just easy. Yeah, it was like easy. You know, sometimes you get that last minute phone call. Oh, listen, I can't make it, man. But you know, you've
story
been
of our
perfect,
lives.
Man. Yeah,
you've been I'm perfect, chill guy, so. Man. Like, I'm happy to be on here, man. And like, bro, it's been wicked, man.
Definitely. So we're gonna leave it there. That's another episode of the Beautiful Game Podcast. Over and out. Peace.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.